Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Listen, we're called to be game changers. You hear us talk about it all the time with VFN Kingdom Business, and you're seeing even right now, I'm sure, you know, that, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, you see these banners that we have up, we do these different functions. This is so important. This is so important to be able to understand that God wants us to go into the world and make disciples in the world.
In the world, not in
the stucco building or the shopping center building or the living room. We do that too. But the whole thing is that go into your workplace, go into the education mountain. What you think about it, we got spheres of culture. When it breaks down, pretty much you think about like seven spheres. Mm-hmm. Some people describe it differently, but this is how it's better for us to understand it. Seven spheres. And you're seeing those spheres right here, you know, business, family, church, which is religion, education, media,
government.
And let that county commissioner or that city council know about God, love on them, pray for them. And all of a sudden, now you have light inside there. Because so often, and this is what they're talking about here, and you can see it. This is Jesus culture, Pastor Banning, right?
Yep.
Talking about, we kind of twisted that historically in a religious world, saying that the only way you can change the world is to preach from the pulpit. And you do change things that way. But the reality is we got tons of preachers.
Mm-hmm.
We got 10,000 teachers. But who is changing the game? Because we are supposed to go into all the world and make disciples of those who believe. Watch this. It's powerful.
I'm here with the founder and director of Jesus Culture, Banning Leibscher.
It's great to be back at the Emerge Equipping Sessions.
Yeah, and we're here to talk about game changers specifically and why we need to raise them up. But before we jump into that, what exactly is a game changer?
Well, Dean, I absolutely love this concept of game changers. I mean, we use this concept a lot at Jesus Culture. You know, a game changer is somebody that just does that, that changes the game. And obviously, you know, what's happened in the world is not a game or things like that. But when we read stories about Esther, Jehu, Jonathan is an armor bearer, Jonah, you just go down the list of people in the New Testament, Old Testament, that God took their lives and put them into a situation and the game changed. So the Israelites are encamped against, you know, the Philistines. It's not looking great. All of a sudden, Jonathan enters into the situation and the game just changed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the game just changed. So for us, I believe God's raising up a generation that he's sending into cities and nations. And I think the game's about to change in the nations of the earth because of who God is raising up.
And so one of the things that you say at our conferences and during our culture project is that about 3% of the youth or young adults out there are really 3% are called to lead behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
What's your...
Well, this is, when we say game changers, what I believe is this, and for those watching, I believe that everybody's called to change the world. We use this phrase, that I believe 100% of believers are called to change the world. That leadership at its core is influence, and everybody's called to influence. And when the Lord told us to disciple nations, he was not just saying that to a select few handful of people. He was telling that to the body of Christ. So if that's true, if everybody's called to change the world, the reality is that 97% of people won't do it from behind a pulpit. They're not called to. And when I was growing up in youth group especially, if you were charismatic and had leadership qualities and loved Jesus, it was like automatically you should be a pastor. Well, the reality is most of the people we talk to, they're not supposed to be pastors. And I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm changing the world that way. But most of the people aren't called to change the world that way. They are called to be in culture in a different capacity. So we actually talk about the five. There's, you may have heard different language and things, but for us, there's five spheres of culture. Mm-hmm. It's family and individual, culture and lifestyle, business and economics, government and legal, and then religion and spirituality. And the reason, and the reality is that if we're calling a generation, if we're calling people in the church to change the world, 97% of them will do it not from behind a pulpit, but in education and in business and in politics. They're going to change the world out there. So
as leaders, you're saying that we possibly might need to rethink how we're raising up leaders in our youth groups, in our churches, to really influence.
Absolutely. Listen, this is one of the things that we have a heart for. You have to change the mindset of people. You've got to shift things where, again, we have somehow downplayed the call to lead in business, the call to lead in education, the call to lead in the home, the call to lead on the factory floor, the call to lead in medicine. We've kind of downplayed that somehow, and we don't even say this from the pulpit, but well, actually, we do sometimes. I hear pastors all the time that are talking about, like, when I receive my call to ministry, or there's no greater call than the call to ministry. And they're somehow putting the concept that if you're called to be a pastor or a preacher, mm-hmm. it's somehow a greater call than somebody else. But the reality is, mm-hmm. I'm called to preach. I'm called to pastor. That's what I'm called to do. But there are people that are called to be in a boardroom, in a classroom, in an operating room, mm-hmm. and their call is no less than mine. And so we have to shift that a little bit where we begin to speak value, and not just value, but like strategy.
Yeah.
The reality is if 100% of the people we talk to, if they all became preachers, like we're withdrawing from the very culture that we're wanting to impact. We need people in Hollywood. We need people. And again, sometimes we talk national, mm-hmm. like, you know, but the reality is we need nurse practitioners that are leading in their city.
Yes.
We need teachers leading in their city, and we have to make a shift that everybody's called to lead. Listen to me, every single person in the body of Christ is called to lead. Maybe not all at a national level, but all are called to lead locally and influence. And we have to give people permission not just to do it within the church walls, but they can lead outside the church walls.
Yeah, and you often say that, you know, our heart here, especially at Jesus Culture, is to see cities saved and nations transformed. That seems like a huge task.
It does, doesn't it?
But as leaders, where do I practically begin?
Yeah, you know, here's one thing I would tell people is that lots of times we use big language, you know, like we're going to change the world. Well, there's, you know, there's 7 billion people on the face of the planet. Like, mm-hmm. that just feels so overwhelming, or people, you know, we put it into these such huge general terms. But the reality is you're called to lead exactly where you're at. You are part of a team in the earth that's changing the world. You're part of a team in a nation that's changing the world. And your job is to lead with the influence the Lord's given you. If that's in a neighborhood, if that's a group of friends, if that's at a coffee shop, wherever the Lord's given you influence, take responsibility for that and lead there. And if you want to know what the Lord's called you to do, there's a great, in Nehemiah, he comes to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. And he gave a strategy, he was kind of giving strategies for how to rebuild the walls. And he told the priests, he told a couple people, but he told the priests, build the wall in front of your house. Literally, Nehemiah tells the priests, okay, we're going to rebuild this wall, a massive undertaking. He said, your job is to walk outside your front door, look at the wall that's broken in front of you, and rebuild that part of it. So sometimes we get so overwhelmed with, like, we're talking about changing the world, I don't even know where to start. You start by looking at what's directly in front of you, what's broken down right in front of you that you have influence over. Go lead there, go rebuild there. Understand there are people all around the world, but all over the wall, building their parts of the wall, and together we really will see nations transformed.
Right now, we have leaders watching this that are asking themselves, why is this important, and how do we do it?
Yeah, well, again, we've got a lot of different type of leaders that are watching this, whether you're a youth pastor, senior pastor, small group leader, campus leader, Sunday school teacher, whatever it is. You know, it's really, really critical that we shift this in the body of Christ. If we are going to have a 40-year vision to see revival and reformation, to see transformation happen in cities and nations, it means that we have to begin to, at a young age, raise up a generation that really believes, I'm called to lead. Like, I'm called to lead. I'm a leader. And again, they may be a stay-at-home mom, but she thinks, I'm a leader. I'm called to change the way things are done in my city. And we need to raise a generation up that really believes where the nation go is where the nation and the city goes is dependent on my life.
Wow.
Because the Lord's told me to disciple nations. And so it's really important that we start investing in a younger generation, that they get this down, that they begin to think this. And they begin to dream. To be honest with you, this sounds horrible. It sounds harsh because I am a pastor and a preacher. But they begin to dream even not just beyond that, but in different capacities. Mm. Like we've limited it somehow. Like if you're going to be a revivalist, that means you stand behind a pulpit. And I'm telling people, you can be a revivalist in a boardroom. You can be a revivalist on a playing field. You can be a revivalist on stage. Like you can be a revivalist in those areas, and we have to start working that in right now mm-hmm. into a younger generation. And then making room for it and celebrating it. Like we've got to celebrate it. We've got to send people. One of the things I would say is this is one of the reasons why we haven't raised up Game Changers is because our churches have become known by how many we gather rather than how many we send. Mm. How many people come to your church is the question we ask. We should be asking, how many people are you sending every week? We gather every week to get together with the body of Christ, to worship, to be fed, to be nourished and encouraged. But ultimately, so we can send you back into the game to see things change. And so we have to shift even how we structure some of that stuff.
So what I hear you saying is just because maybe a kid loves to play the guitar doesn't mean he's necessarily called to be a worship leader.
No.
Or if a young lady has a heart for kids doesn't mean she's called to be a children's pastor.
Yes, yes. And it even sounds sacrilegious even saying that because we have such a value for worship leaders, such a value for preachers.
Definitely.
But the reality is that the majority of the people, if you influence young people at all inside the church walls, the majority, the heavy majority of those people are called to lead outside the church walls. And we need them outside the church walls. Hmm. We don't just want to raise up leaders that are in the church. We want to raise up leaders outside.
Raise up leaders outside the church.
Yes. That music is so, to our ears, right?
It's so awkward for most folks to hear how many you're sending.
Right.
So many people are disappointed when they go, man, I haven't gathered that many. It's like, how many are you sending?
That's right.
We're going to be held accountable by the Lord for not obeying him. Mm-hmm. If we call ourselves a leader, maybe a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher, we're not trying to teach to teach. We're trying to teach to launch.
To launch, yeah.
You know, we're not trying to preach to just inspire to come back next Sunday.
Catch and release, right?
Yeah, we want to be able to inspire them to go to another nation as a missionary, to go mm-hmm. into their workplace and begin to see their business. You know, it's like, this is my ministry. This is, you know, we've got some things we're going to be sharing with you, some powerful things. But the heart of Nehemiah, we have that available for you right now at vfntv.com. And you can listen to that. And this is what God is calling us to do. And he said very specifically, and I totally agree with him, that it's not really that overwhelming. Just begin to fix what's in front of you. Begin to love the people that's in front of you. Realize that only based on their statistics, only 3% are going to end up behind some pulpit or podium mm-hmm. somewhere. And listen, if God's not calling you to do that, don't do it. You know, you know, right?
You need to be called.
I'm asked Tommy Tenney. I'm at Tommy Tenney and God Chasers. He talks about, you know, a particular pastor that just thought that was a big deal to be behind a pulpit, and God was moving, his power was moving, but he felt in his mind this was the right thing to do. So he got to just start talking. So he gets up, gets behind the pulpit, and all of a sudden the power of God hits, throws this pastor back against the wall, the podium gets split in two, and God's moving all over the place. Mm. And it's like God's presence fixes everything. You need God's presence in the church, obviously, the church family. You need him in your family. You need him in your education. You need him in media, arts and entertainment, business, government. We need the Lord in everything. Yeah. And at vfnkb.org, VFN Kingdom Business, this is what we're focusing on. Listen to this. In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. Mm. We can come together, though we're diverse and though these different, you know, we got Jesus in common. We got to begin to come together in God, our Father, loves for his sons and daughters to get together in love and begin to do some major things like take these mountains back for God. It's just an exciting, exciting time. We're excited about Jesus Culture and what they're doing there.
That's so awesome. That's, I guess, one of the things that excites us about even what Franklin Graham's doing with Samaritan's Purse, because it's not just doing it for the sake of doing and providing help. Yeah. But he wanted everyone to know that when this plane comes and we're bringing help, it's in Jesus' name.
That's it.
And that's who we are. We're game changers for the Lord. Yes. We're his ambassadors. We're his eyes, arms, and his mouthpiece. and we get to influence, instead of being reactionary to what's happening around us, we have the opportunity to change it for God, for the good.
And we're doing it through your help and your partnership. You know, VFN Kingdom Business is so important. And we're so excited about being able to express what God has just put in us for so long. That's one thing that we do, and we want to see you successful. We want to see your business do well. We want to see your school do well. We want to see, you know, the government run well. You know, I had the opportunity of spending some time with some government leaders yesterday, and all my heart was is like, you know, how can I pray, you know, for you and help you in Absolutely. This area? This is what the church is supposed to do. I mean, think about how strategic Daniel was, or Joseph was. I mean, here's Daniel in a business environment. He wasn't behind some pulpit somewhere, but he was in a governmental position, connected through doing a good job.
Yeah.
And he had access to, and people saw his fruit. And so when all of a sudden what God wanted to come out of him, people went and got him and brought him to a place to be able to speak truth to power.
What was interesting about Daniel, too, is that he never compromised his relationship with God. Oftentimes, people think that, well, in order for me to be successful, then maybe I need to bend a little bit, and you don't. It was what was on his life is God's blessing and his anointing.
Which God totally set that up. So why would you even need to promote that?
And no.
The moment you start trying to promote yourself is the moment you're creating stumbling blocks for yourself. I was just reading last night, Final Quest. Rick Joyner's book, a powerful vision of what really happens. I mean, if you want to know what Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 looks like,
get the book.
Yeah, right. And so, but you know, you could be located just like Daniel right there. You're abiding with God. You went to iabide.org. You got your abiding plan. You're talking with God. You're listening to God, and He's imparting things to you. And all of a sudden, you're in a boardroom meeting, or you're like, you know, you're walking in like Daniel, a governmental employee, basically a governor over in territories.
Sure, province.
And then all of a sudden, the leader goes, he's just stuck. He don't know what to do. He brought all of his normal, typical folks in that kind of gives him great visions and plans for different things. And he finally turned to Daniel. And when he turned to Daniel, Daniel didn't say, it's about time you promoted me and recognized me. Right?
No.
You must have just found my business card on your desk, right?
I've been here for a while.
Yeah. You just saw my website. It was on my website I put up, right? This is what he said. He said, God has the answers for you. Yeah. Just like Franklin Graham saying, this is Jesus bringing this stuff in through us. And he said, God is the one that can actually give you this answer. He can interpret this dream. And so, and you can only do that if you actually have a relationship with God and you know how to hear God. And if you abide with him, you're gonna get used to it. He'll give you dreams. He'll speak to you. You'll see these things manifest in your life, and you'll understand, wow, God and I are just walking together, and these things are happening. You'll just learn how to, like a child learns to talk in the natural sense, that we as spiritual children of God, we learn how to walk spiritually in God. And then all of a sudden, you're right there, and that entire company, the entire government agency or some sort of educational part of your community shifts because God gave a key word, an interpretation. He gives a dream to that particular superintendent of schools, or that dream to the mayor, or to a sheriff, and they're kind of, you know, what do I do with this?
Right.
Or it could be just a business concept. It's like, you know, what do we need to do? One particular thing that happened, this is what God can do. There's so many businesses out there, and we should thank God for the businesses who stand up, you know, for God in the country and Israel in that order. You know, we have plenty of them, and we thank you. But understand that God has a key ingredient. Just one word from God can just flip your business and take your bottom line from, you know, 4% profit to, you know, just buku profit. So much so that you'll be saying, I don't know if we can handle this anymore. We have businesses that are being so blessed because you're able to, God has insight. He has prophetic insight how to run your business. He has a way for you to be able to know how to really, I wouldn't say deal with, but how to actually impart wisdom into your employees. And he cares about your business. I mean, think about it. Most people spend most of their life at a company or their own company working. with other folks?
40 to 60 hours a week. And what we've done for so long is say, you know, the most important thing that you could be doing for God
Sunday happens morning, 45
two, minutes. 2 days, Wednesday and Sunday.
Oh, that's serious stuff.
Yeah.
That's somebody serious.
That's serious. But that's the most effective you can do for God.
Right.
But God cares about those 40 to 60 hours that you spend every single day at your workplace, your school, doing the things that you do. And it's amazing that when you spend time with God, you can change your world, your society. Like exactly what Benny was saying. What's the wall right in front of you? And it's awesome. I love what Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words.
Right.
And as we're interacting with people and we're showing, you know, what God can do to transform life, I mean, we're just bringing hope and healing and encouragement no matter what segment we find ourselves
in. Well, for years, the religion mountain, the church mountain has been focused on, and you know, we can do church. As a matter of fact, you come out of the church, man, we did church today, right?
We did church today.
That was so good.
We did church.
That was so good. We're going to come back next Sunday, and we're going to do church again. And even in the midst of doing church, and that's great, we need that encouragement.
Of course.
That we even sing songs like, take the whole world, give me Jesus, right? And what happened was, he took us up on the offer.
Yeah.
He took the other six mountains. We're complaining about media. Mm. But we're not in media. Well, we are, and our partners are.
That's right.
And our sponsors are. And you can be too.
And look what's happened when we just glanced in the media direction, the church now. We just put a little bit of attention.
Right.
You're seeing some of the most amazing Christian movies that have ever been out in the last decade.
Right.
Better than the last 60, 70 years.
Great news programs.
Absolutely.
Prophetic insight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also, you know, you have arts and entertainment there. You know, one of the prophetic words that we shared with you, talking about get ready to rumble coming off the California coast there was God is bringing a media woman of the dirt.
Heidi Baker
even has several media
collective
art things, and we're doing that with the Arts Mountain ourselves, and we're getting excited about having that and bringing artists together. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're just frustrated and you can't find a place to be able to loose that gift. You can in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
You know, go to vfnkb.org and get a hold of us, because I'm not an artist, but we're going to bring you together with other artists. And we believe the Lord amongst you, as you begin to just, you know, hear God and build relationship, that out of that's going to come things that have not yet been released on the earth, because God is going to release creative ideas and concepts over that. And it's a doorway image. When you can create art, it just draws you
in.
I mean, you can create art that just says something and speaks something. And so that's what's been going on, where it's like, take the whole world, give me Jesus. And even the business world, we have people that are running for president and people are saying, like, you know, that person's a businessman. We got to go for him. And they're adjusting their expectations, because they're saying, basically, I can't find a Christian businessman, or supposedly, I don't know what the concept is, but they're having to negotiate. Well, why isn't there 10,000 businessmen and women that we can choose from?
That's right.
You know, we got to begin to move in and say, you know what? God wants to start a business, and he wants to start it with you. And he doesn't mind getting things to you as long as he can get things through you. And this is what he says. I want to bless you to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Now, the concept right now in America is pretty much, I want more stuff, so I just want to be blessed. Well, our poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth. We got blessed. We have stuff.
And look what some of the most amazing Christian business owners are doing right now. Right now. I mean, the Hobby Lobby. Listen, go to Hobby Lobby. Get anything. Because these guys are building the very first Bible museum in Washington, D.C. At the tune of $400 million.
Yeah.
This is what you can do when you're operating, you know, a business that's dedicated to God, you know?
And they took a stand for faith, for the First Amendment, and they won it in the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
And this is what, I just think it's time for us to arise to the occasion. I mean, think about embedded reporters, that you have the great, more technology in your cell phone than they had probably on one of the rockets going up to the astronauts going up to the moon. And you can use that today. You can walk up to a situation, to somebody who needs to hear a question that nobody's asking. Because you saw interviews before where people were going like, did you just ask this person who wants to be the leader of our country, what's your favorite color? Is that what you just asked them?
Yeah.
How about what do you think about Israel and why? And and capture that with your phone and bring that as an embedded reporter for the Lord. And that's your ministry. And all of a sudden, your interview is being broadcasted around the world.
Get it to us. Yes. We want to help get it out.
Yes, totally. And there's so many different ways to do this. And one way you can do it is go to vfnkb.org and sign up. So, you know, I want to be a part of that. And VFNKB partners are not our standard partners because we have so many things there built to help you and empower you. But I believe it's a partnership for $25 or more a month. And that takes you into this whole VFN Kingdom
Green
business
room,
area.
Everything. I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it is. And we can do this thing together. There's so many great things that we're going to be able to introduce. But networking, God wants to think about it. When you get in a relationship instead of being in competition with your fellow business person,
I mean,
everybody does it to the same thing. You know, somebody builds doors and somebody else builds hinges and somebody else builds doorknobs.
Yeah.
When you come together, you have access to your future and the destiny in your community.
The synergy is amazing because we just recognize that business is just the tool, but the greater good that we can do for the kingdom is just, it's just phenomenal. It's exponential.
Well, you know, one example of that is one businessman was, he had all these gas stations, and he was trying to increase his sales. And so what he did, he put car washes on all the gas station properties that he had. So he's thinking, I'll sell gas, and I'll sell car washes, and it'll come up. But it didn't come up. But he didn't know what to do because he needed to raise his income. And so God gave a prophetic insight, a word of knowledge to him, and it was simple as this. Give the car wash away for a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
Think about it. You know, we would think, that's just, I'm already losing. How's that going to work? And he acted on that word of knowledge. And guess what? His sales skyrocketed. I mean, that's what God can do. God can say, put a billboard. You don't need 1,000 billboards. You need a billboard on this road on this day because this man, I'm going to touch his heart or her heart, and they're going to do business with you, and it's going to rock your destiny. I mean, and when you're walking by faith, when you're going out and you're acquiring business for your company, you'll walk out more confidently knowing that God has put favor on you, and that hospital or that marketing company, they're going to want to do business with you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be there not just to make money off the encounter, but you're going to be there and say, this person cares about our business, they care about our reputation, and they're looking for a long-time relationship. I mean, it's just a whole different mindset.
Not only that, today, what a big thing that's happening today in the market is value-based marketing. And where people want to spend their dollars with the people that are supporting the values that are important to them. Today, we live in a society where everyone has 10,000 choices of where to eat, where to get their car done, where to get their teeth cleaned.
Why should I do business with you?
Why don't I do business with you?
Yes.
And when they know that you support the things that are important to them, God, family, Israel, blessing of the community, they say, that's where I want to spend my dollars.
Yeah. One of the examples is Gulf Coast Seafood. You know, Jonathan Patty, great godly man and great business. And one of our viewers is watching him as a sponsor on VFN TV. And so he takes his whole company to go have lunch at Gulf Coast Seafood, which is in Pensacola, Florida, off of Nine Mile Road area in Pensacola. And when they showed up, they said they were treated so well. They explained the menu. They helped them out. What's going on? He said they were so friendly to us. And he said the food was so good. And all of a sudden, what you're seeing is that you do that over and over again, and all of a sudden people say, you know what? I just want to do business with people who care about me.
Yeah.
I want to do business with people who stand up and say, you know, I want the light in my community, and they're the ones keeping the lights on in our community. And that's one thing that we're doing through VFN Kingdom Business. You can go to vfnkb.org. Sign up today. Sign up today. VFNKB Partners. This is not a partnership for any amount because we have a lot of partners for whatever amount whatsoever, but it's $25 or more a month, and that brings you into what we presently have for you, but we have so many things in store for you. And one thing that's coming I'm excited about, too, is Impact, VFN Kingdom Impact 100.
Oh, my goodness.
I am so pumped about that. You know, all we need is time. We have so many things going on, but imagine this. Imagine you want to significantly impact the culture for the kingdom of God. You know, and so you have 100 other believers who want to do the very same thing, and maybe our little bit wouldn't change that much, but what if we unify? What if you take $1,000 for that year and you invest it with 99 other people who invest $1,000 that year. You come together, the 100 of you come together with $100,000. You pray and say, God, how do you want us to impact our culture?
Yeah.
For the kingdom now, which is totally different than a lot of things people do. This is like a kingdom impacting thing. And then you interview people who come to you and they say, this is what we want to do for the God. This is what we want to do for God. This is what we want to do for the kingdom. And you get together and you meet and you make a decision. We're going to give this person $100,000 to impact the kingdom. Or we're going to give these two companies or two ministries or $250,000
right.
You know, for each. I mean, just, that's what we're going to do. It's so exciting. But you need to come together. Go to vfnkb.org. Partner with us today. It's $25 or more to be able to be a VFN Kingdom business partner. But it's actually to rock the culture for Jesus, right? Game
That's
changers.
So amazing.
So exciting to be able to see that. I want to pray with you right now. Listen, you've been hearing so many negative things go on about your business, about the economy, about church, about God. But listen, it's for you to believe. It's to begin to see in the spirit, yes. Not to see in the flesh. The enemy's trying to stir your flesh up, but you can begin to see what we're seeing, and we're seeing good things, great harvest, an awesome things taking place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so we want to pray with you right now and just challenge you to say, you know what? I want to connect. I want to partner. I want to be a part of changing the world, a game changer. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for all that the Samaritan Purse is doing. We pray for those in Ecuador that are under great suffrage, Lord, that their needs would be met, Father God, that people would be rescued that are under any kind of wreckage. God, we pray for finances to come in for Samaritan's Purse.
Yes.
God, we pray even for kingdom business-minded believers who want to impact their culture with your kingdom, Father God. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth, in our culture, in our society, in Jesus' name. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Don't forget, you can go to vfnkb.org and join us today in the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, and in all things love. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfntv.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at vfntv.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at vfntv.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.